Hey everyone, my name's Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circa Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circa Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus. Our mission field is our generation, and we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
You guys have a good day? Yeah, so good. Excited, fun to be together. Well, we're going to continue on tonight. I'm super pumped to just lean into the Lord together. Go after the scriptures. You guys bring your Bible with you tonight? We're going to reference the Bible a lot tonight, so that's good. But as I've been thinking about this year, praying for you guys, praying for myself, praying for my family, I really felt that 2026 would be a great year to let go of all small-minded thinking when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's a great year to let go of the limitations that we have knowingly or unknowingly put on God's ability in our own personal lives. I felt tonight to say that, you know, no more should we be putting magnifying glasses up to our problems, magnifying them bigger than Jesus. It's easy to do that. I'm guilty of that. I'm sure you're guilty of that. But I just felt tonight that the Holy Spirit wanted to bring things to a reminder for us, wanted to help us remember some things as we approach our year. And in John, 1 John 4, the scripture tell us that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Say this out loud with me. There's something greater in me. Look at your neighbor and say, there's something greater in you. Look at your other neighbor and say, there's something greater in you. The title of my message tonight is that there's something greater in you. There's something greater in you. We want to dig into this tonight. I read the other day that research says that up to 70% of our thoughts are negative thoughts. Up to 70% of our thoughts are negative thoughts, discouraging thoughts, and limiting thoughts. And 80% of today's thoughts are the same as yesterday's thoughts. So meaning that if that statistic is true, we live with a waterfall of negative thoughts just running through our mind on a consistent basis. It's so easy to be negative. It's easy to be negative. Can I tell on myself for a moment? Is that all right if I get vulnerable here right out of the gate? I know my natural propensity is to lean towards negativity. Is there anyone else in the room who will just say, I'm with you? Oh, we got more hands than I thought. Let's go. Okay. My natural propensity is to lean towards negativity. Just to be honest, my kids would be bored to death if it was not for my wife. I got four kids. They're amazing. They're 8, 6, 3, and 12 months old. They're amazing. They're awesome. My wife is incredible. My wife is the one who loves to have fun. If she wasn't in my life, our kids would be bored to death. And my wife will come and she'll have all of these fun ideas. And my first response typically is like, man, that's going to be really hard. That's going to be a lot of work. Literally this weekend, it was Saturday, I'm telling on myself, I'm out running some errands and I get a text from my wife and she says, what if we take the kids bowling tonight? My initial thought, my imagination just like sparks. And I'm just imagining myself with my little 12-month-old daughter who's just wild right now, just kind of crawling all over the place, getting smashed by bowling balls, people everywhere. That's like the first thought in my mind, not, oh, that could be fun. The first thought in my mind is that's going to be really challenging. You know what I did? I ghosted my wife's text. I ghosted my wife on the text. I didn't respond. I just kept doing my stuff. So I don't know, 10, 15 minutes go by. I don't know how long. We ended up getting on the phone. And we laughed. We laughed immediately. She knew. She just goes, she's like, I knew the silence. I know the answer. It was a Hail Mary. I threw it out there. We were laughing, and I was like, well, we could, you know. And so anyway, she's like, no, I don't think it's a good idea tonight. Anyways, point being is like, that was my first inkling was, this is going to be so challenging. So I ghosted my wife. Side note, we have a lot of fun together. I've grown a ton. She helps me. But my point being is that it's just so easy for the first response to things like, that's going to be so hard. That's going to be really challenging. As humans, we are prone and naturally good at being negative. And we're also really good at forgetting things. How many times have you, like me, run through your house? Where's my keys? Where's my wallet? Where's my phone? Now, we don't usually lose our phones so much because we're so addicted to them. But we know where that's at. But where's my keys at? Where's my wallet? Where's my Bible? No, I don't know where my Bible is, right? Like, we're prone to forgetting things. I can't tell you how many times my son will come up to me. It's Saturday morning. He's got a basketball game. I can't find my jersey anywhere. It's lost forever. I just go in his room, open his drawer. It's right there. It's in there. But he forgot where he put it. He put it back where it should be. But he's just prone to forget. We are good at being negative, and we are good at forgetting things. And I think in the same way that we're good about forgetting all these things in our everyday life, we are also really good at forgetting about the goodness of God towards us in our life. We're really good at forgetting what God is actually like. We're really good at forgetting what God has actually done in our life, and we're really good at forgetting who we are in Him. We're good at forgetting. Psalm 78 verse 11, they forgot His works and the wonders that He had shown them. Matthew 16 verse 8, why are you discussing you have no bread? Do you not remember? Remember the disciples, or they don't have bread. They're confused. They're frustrated. They're panicking. Jesus is in the boat with them. He says, why are you talking about this? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 or the 7 loaves for the 4,000? Don't you remember? Have you forgotten what you just saw? You see, when we forget who God is, and we forget what He's done, we typically default towards negativity and fear, not faith. When we forget what He's done, we forget who He is, we end up going towards negativity and fear, not faith. That's Paul had to write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6. He says, Timothy, I'm writing you this to remind you, saying you've forgotten something. I'm writing to remind you, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. You weren't given a spirit of fear, Timothy. You were given a spirit of power. See, something must have happened in Timothy's life. Things were happening, and Paul's saying, I need to remind you, there's something greater in you, Timothy. It's not a spirit of fear. You've been given a spirit of power. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. You see, our enemy is a thief. Say, he's a thief. He's a thief, he's a liar, he's a deceiver, and he comes to steal. So here's what happens. The enemy comes, he begins to sow lies and deception into the spiritual airwaves of our mind in hopes of robbing our memory of God's goodness. He's trying to steal your memory so that you forget God's goodness in your life. And he magnifies challenges and problems we face in order to make them seem bigger than God's ability to bring change to that very problem. And so when you and I, when we partner with the enemy's deception, we become intimidated by the mountain that we face, and we become paralyzed when it comes to bringing solution. We paralyze ourselves out of fear, negativity, unbelief, because we've partnered with the deceiver. We know from both of Paul's letters to Timothy, that Timothy was a young man. He was a young guy. And there were real challenges with that as a young man that he was having to lead And it appears that there were people who were speaking down at him towards his youth. That's why Paul said, hey, don't let anyone speak down to you about your youth. It seems like Timothy was facing these challenges and he must have been neglecting his leadership because Paul says, don't neglect the gift. Don't neglect the gift. The challenge had potentially paralyzed him when it came to leading. So that's why Paul had to counterattack the lie of the enemy and what people were sowing into his life by saying, don't neglect the gift you have. In other words, don't let discouragement cause you to shelve what God has placed inside of you. Dust that thing off, Timothy, and put it to use. There's a gift of God in you. There's something stirring inside of you. God's deposited something greater in you, but your discouragement has caused you to put that thing on the shelf and to stop leading. I wonder how many of you in the room tonight have allowed discouragement to keep you from leading out the way God is calling you to lead this year. In your family, in your job, in your community, in your friendships. Discouragement chases us around, trying to abdicate our authority, causing us to abdicate our authority. And so Paul, his charge to Timothy, saying that to us, he's saying, stir up the gift of God inside of you. So if Paul was here tonight, he would say, I want to remind you of some things tonight. I want to remind you that there's something greater in you. Don't allow the negativity and the discouragement and the fear to rob you of your purpose and your assignment. Did you know you have a purpose for this year? God has a purpose for you. God has an assignment for you this year. There are things that God is longing to do with you this year, in you, through you, and for those around you. And tonight, I just feel the Holy Spirit wants to remind us of some things so that we can engage in the assignment that the Lord has for us. That's my prayer. If I could bring you into my prayer life for you, because I have a prayer life for you. I want you to know that. I pray for you. I was praying for you all week. I pray for you every week. We pray for these nights. My prayer for you is that this year you would become deeply acquainted with the Holy Spirit. That you would become deeply acquainted with the Holy Spirit in every way that you have underestimated him would be overturned by the truth that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Every way you've limited the Holy Spirit in your life, I'm praying this year that the lid would get blown off of that limitation. That in every way you've underestimated what is possible by the Holy Spirit residing in your life, that thing would get completely eradicated out of your thought life, out of your mindset, and you'd begin to live under the banner of truth that greater is he who is in you. There's something greater in you. You have not been given a spirit of fear. As I've been praying for you, this scene from the Bible keeps coming to mind in John chapter 20. And it's when the disciples had locked themselves in a room out of fear of the Jews because Jesus had been crucified. He was no longer in the tomb. And they were afraid, right, as any of us would be. If they killed him, they may try to kill us. So they were afraid. They were locked in a room together out of fear. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus walks through the walls and appears to them in the room. He begins to talk to them and he shows them the wounds on his side and on his hands. And then he breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. You have not been given a spirit of fear or timidity. You have been given a spirit of power. And I don't know what has been keeping you feeling like you're locked up in some metaphorical room of fear or doubt or discouragement or negativity, whatever it may be. But I believe Jesus wants to walk through the walls of that room and breathe fresh life by the Holy Spirit upon you. that tonight, not tomorrow, not next week, I believe tonight, the Lord wants to appear in the midst of whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, wherever you feel hemmed in by fear. Jesus appears in that place. He speaks the word of peace to you. He spoke to them, peace be with you. And then he breathes the life-giving spirit of God upon them. I believe that's what the Lord has for you tonight. Wants to breathe the life-giving spirit of God upon you. He wants to show you, wants you to have a greater revelation. They were afraid, and he showed them his wounds. Interesting. He says, you're afraid because they killed me, but check it out. I'm alive. I'm a resurrected, wounded, slain lamb. And through my crucifixion, they tried to kill me. Guess what happened? I dismantled every principality and power in all of the cosmos and all of the heavens. They've been disarmed through my sacrifice, through my resurrection. And so now the life-giving spirit that possesses me is going to possess you. Receive the Holy Spirit. My prayer is that you would get a fresh vision and revelation of the wounds of Christ that beat down every power over your life, that can liberate any addiction in your life, that can eradicate the fear in your life, that can overturn the doubt in your life, that can overcome the depression in your life, that those wounds have power. The Bible says, by his wounds, by his stripes, we've been healed. Come on, there's something greater in you. He wants to remind you through his wounds, that through his torn flesh, the veil to his presence was opened. When he died and they broke open his flesh, that thick veil in the temple that kept people out from the holiest of holy places where God's presence abided, that thing was torn in two. And then as that thing was torn in two, and as his flesh was torn in two, now you and I have something called access. Say access. You've been given access into the throne room of God. My question to you is, are you using your pass? Is it just sitting in your Bible as a cool revelation, or have you learned how to use that thing and to approach God? Can I tell you, the Bible teaches us, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence or boldness draw near. Everybody say, draw near. Let us draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. I love how the message says it. Let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy. Accept the help. Are you using what you've been given? Are you drawing near to the God who is beckoning you to come? You see, the resurrected, wounded Jesus is the slain lamb that John sees in Revelation, who is seated upon the throne. And what this means for you and I is that guarantees that the throne of God is a throne of mercy. And that if you need mercy in your life, it's available to you. It's available to anyone breathing. Mercy is waiting. Mercy is available. You can find it there. Those who need empowering grace, you can find it there. It's there for you. The writer of Hebrews is saying, draw near. Come close. Take what he's ready to give you. I want to remind you tonight, you have an all-access pass into the throne room of heaven. And I want to tell you that being famous on the earth is of no comparison to being famous before the throne. Make it your aim of 2026 to become famous before God. That you would be known in heaven for your approach, your confident approach to the throne of God. What you need in your life will be found and given in your approach to the throne of grace. You see, the enemy would love to keep you and me locked away in a room of fear and condemnation. But the Spirit of God is beckoning us, come and drink from the fountain of life. The enemy wants to keep you isolated, keep you in fear, keep you under a yoke of condemnation. But the Spirit of life is drawing you in, drawing me in, saying, access granted. Door is wide open. Would you come? Don't neglect the gift of access you've been given. Don't let the thief steal your memory that the door is wide open. Don't let the thief steal your confidence that God wants to meet with you. Did you know that God doesn't tolerate you? He doesn't tolerate you. You got a friend in your life that you just kind of tolerate? Don't raise your hand. Don't say anything. Don't look at them if they're here. Don't look at them. Just look straight. Keep your eyes up. We all have those people in our life that we tolerate them. You don't bug God. You don't get on his nerves. Isn't that amazing? He loves you. You know why? Because he intricately created you. He made you. He's very, very proud of you. And he wants to spend time with you. And he gets extremely frustrated when the enemy comes and plants seeds of doubt in the minds of his children, saying your father wants nothing to do with you. That is not the gospel. That's anti-gospel. That's the gospel of hell. That's the gospel of the enemy. That's not what the Father of Jesus is like. The Father of Jesus is zealous over you, longing to pour out his affection over you, longing to pour out his love on you, longing to pour out words of affirmation on you. You've got a deficit of blessing in your life. You didn't have a parent who spoke over you blessing. You don't have friends who speak blessing into you. You don't have a mentor who speaks blessing into you. Let me tell you something. You have a Father in heaven that you can approach his throne. And he will affirm you and affirm you and affirm you and affirm you. And all of a sudden, you'll get a vision of the wounds of Jesus and you'll see your value in those wounds. You'll see how much you mattered to him and to the Father, because he was not twisting the Father's arm to love you by dying on the cross. That was a Trinitarian act. Father, Son, and Spirit, all in unity around that thing. Put on full display, this is how I feel about you. Come on, I'm here to remind you tonight. There's something greater for you. There's something greater in you. There's a greater destiny over your life than you could ever imagine. There's a greater purpose in your life than you have believed yet. There's a greater longing in the heart of God for you to step into it than there is in your own life to step into it. He's more zealous over your future than you are. His heart's burning. He can't wait. He's on the edge of his seat. He's saying, catch up with me, catch up with me, catch up with me. He's got plans for you. But the challenge for all of us, myself included, is that we begin to accept self-imposed limitations and false restrictions from the enemy that cause us to live beneath the access and privilege that Jesus has given us. We live beneath limitations that are not of him. We forget that we've been invited to share his throne. We've been called to participate in everything that he accomplished on our behalf. But instead of reigning with him, we start abdicating our authority and we live our lives based on the wrong measurements. We live our lives based on the wrong measurements. We start believing lies. We begin to live like victims, ruled by our situations, our pain, our fears. When the Bible says you and I were meant to reign in life. You were called to reign in life by grace. But you see, the enemy's strategy is subtle. He starts magnifying pressure. That pressure and failure that we begin to live under creates these internal limitations and restrictions in our lives. And before long, we experience a paralysis of faith. And we live under this fake ceiling of discouragement and doubt. And we stop approaching the throne with confidence because, like I said, we begin to live from the wrong measurements. The writer of Hebrews exhorts us to approach God with confidence and boldness. So we need to ask ourselves the question, where does the boldness and confidence come from? Right? Like if this came to mind, I got a Michael Jordan shirt on. Michael Jordan was confident on the basketball court because he was extremely good. He was the GOAT, in my opinion. He was the greatest. His confidence came. He was super good. Well, does your confidence to approach God, is it based because you're super good? Is that your confidence? Well, we don't know what to say because we want to say no, but we live like yes. We live like it. Well, I know, you know, theologically no, but practically, yeah, I do live that way. I do. I measure my life, and if I don't meet this measurement, then my confidence shrinks back in my ability to approach God. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places because of our spiritual growth and maturity. Big loud no, that's not what the Bible says. The confidence to approach God has nothing to do with your level of spirituality. The confidence you have to approach God is by the blood of Christ. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places because of the blood of Christ, by his shed blood, you can approach God boldly. Did you make a mistake and sin this morning? Some of you probably did. Guess what? You can still approach God right now. You can. Because you can't find mercy and grace anywhere else. There is nowhere else to find it. Only Christianity offers grace. All other religions can teach you to do good moral activity. Anyone can build a house. Only Jesus can offer you grace and mercy that can change your life. And the only place to find it is at his feet. You see, the gospel liberates us from the tyranny of trying to achieve a relationship with God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:30, man, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 1:30. By God's doing, you are in Christ. Oh, that should liberate. That makes me want to do a Pentecostal lap. I'm about to run. By God's doing, Zach is in Christ. I didn't put myself there. You didn't put yourself there. You didn't work your way up the ladder. Fasted enough. Now I'm in. By my 40-day fast, I am in Christ. No, 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 no. By God's doing, we are in him. By God's doing, our life is hidden with Christ. In God. God seats us with Christ in heavenly places. The blood of Christ gives us confidence to approach the throne. That's where we find mercy. And we are gifted by the Spirit, not to just sit still, but to begin to move with power. Jesus said, greater works will you do. Come on, there's something greater in you. He said it, not me. You got to deal with that verse. You got to wrestle through it. He said it. Greater works will you do. It's not a hype statement. That's a Bible verse. It's a promise from God through the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. Deal with it. Do something about it. We got to do something about it. There's something greater in us. Greater works will we do. We've been possessed by the life-giving Spirit of Jesus to become his hands and his feet, to take dominion through suffering love, to pray and to see things change, to share the gospel, to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, to be an agent of the kingdom. We've been infused with the Spirit of God, and he's saying, I want you to live out the ministry of Jesus on the earth. But I'm telling you, the enemy's attack and his attempt is to bring about a spiritual amnesia where we forget what we've been given and we abdicate the authority we have and we start living like victims instead of victors. Tonight, the Holy Spirit wants to remind us. Wants to remind us, if the enemy can steal your revelation of what has taken place in Christ, if he can steal your memory, he will stop your movement. He'll stop you from moving forward. He'll stop you from advancing. He will paralyze your faith. But if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to remind you of some things, this year will look very different. I believe your approach to 2026 is determined by how you approach his throne, how you approach God in your life. Forget a plan for the year if you don't have a plan for the throne. Forget it. Forget all your disciplines. Forget all your good stuff. If you don't have a plan of communing and talking with God, scrap that thing and start over. I don't want to base my year on human insight and reason. I don't want to chat GPT my calendar. I want God to build my life. I want God to fill me. I want God to speak to me. And I want to do the things God tells me to do. I don't want to do good ideas. I don't want to say, oh, I think so. Maybe this feels good. I don't want to move by my feeling. I want to let the truth of God's word direct my steps. I want to follow the cloud. I want to follow the pillar of fire. I want to hear his voice and I want to obey. But it's hard to hear his voice if I don't give him attention. It's hard. It's hard. Now, he'll get through because he's good, but it may take a little longer. But if you want to have an incredible year, I'm not talking about everything going easy and us all, you know, roses all day. I'm talking about an incredible year with God. Get a plan. How are you going to approach him every day? You don't have to look very far, though. Do you know that? You don't have to go to a certain building or a certain place. Guess where the Holy of Holies is now? Come on. You. Me. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? You're the temple of God. You're the house. He moved in. Start living like you house God. Start living like it's true, because it is. You've got a king inside of you. Tonight is about reclaiming our gospel memory and beginning to use what we've been given. Jesus was teaching and talking with his disciples in John 14, and he says, these things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. You say, it's so hard for me to remember scripture. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit loves to help you memorize his words. Just ask him. Say, I just forget everything I read. Well, you're reading it without the Spirit. Start asking the Holy Spirit. Stick this thing in my mind. Write your word on my heart. Begin to meditate on it and watch the Holy Spirit begin to bring things to remembrance in your life. And that's how you begin to change your thinking, begin to change your ways. One of the greatest ways I overcame addiction in my life was I began to memorize scripture. I prayed in the Spirit. I dug into the scriptures and I asked God, would you help me memorize scripture to retrain my thinking? It changed everything. You got things you can't overcome? Memorize the book. Memorize the book, you'll start thinking different. And do you know that when you start thinking different, you live different? You do. It happens. It all starts with a thought. Make sure it's a God thought going on in there. And start living from his word. The Holy Spirit is on a gospel recovery mission in your life. He wants to recover the truth of the gospel that maybe you've forgotten. So I want to tell you a few things. If tonight, if you're in the room and you're a born again believer in Jesus, the following list is true for you. Now, if you're in the room tonight and you're not a born again believer in Jesus, this list is going to be true for you tonight because you can make your decision. You can surrender your life and you can find mercy. You can find grace and you can be forever changed by the King of the universe who loves you with an everlasting love. So we're all included in this. The recovery list is this. Number one is you are not under condemnation. You've been washed. Say, I've been washed. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus and you are fully forgiven. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed your sin from you. Last time I checked, that's a long ways. Bible says, though your sins were like scarlet, he has made you white as wool. You are not under condemnation, number one. Number two, you are not separated from God's love. The scriptures inform us in Romans 8 of this truth. Romans 8, 38, 39, I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. The separation that you may feel is just that. It's a feeling. It's not a truth. If you're in Christ, there is no separation. If you're not, you can be in him tonight, right now. You don't even have to wait for an altar moment. You can tell the Lord, I surrender my life to you tonight. Be my Savior. Wash me, cleanse me. Number three, nothing can take you from the Father's hand. Jesus made it plain in John chapter 10 that the security of our relationship with God rests on his ability to keep us. It says, no one can snatch you out of the hand of the Father. That means his grip is stronger than your ability to wiggle out. You ever shook somebody's hand? You're like, dang, let go of my hand. Like, just kind of holding on. It's God's grip on your life. So he doesn't let go. The security of your relationship with God is not how well you can perform or achieve. The security of your relationship with God is his grip on you. No one can take you from the Father's hand. Number four, you have everything you need in Christ. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything you need to fulfill your purpose and your assignment and your calling in the earth is found in Christ. His power, his divine power has deposited within you everything you need to live a godly life. Meaning it does not matter what life throws at you, what you are facing. There's something greater in you. There's something greater in you. You are not lacking. Say, I'm not lacking. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Come on. Don't let that just be a Bible verse you memorized as a child. Eat that thing. Let that digest that truth. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Come on, you're not lacking. You're not lacking. It's a big one. You are not destined to fail. You are not destined to fail. Can I tell you a truth here? Temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted in every way we are, yet was without sin. Too many of us get discouraged by temptation and think we're doomed for failure. So therefore we fail. The enemy deceives us and lies to us. He tempts us so much that he makes us think something's wrong with us. I just keep getting tempted. I keep getting tempted. I keep getting tempted. Jesus was tempted in every way we are, yet he was without sin. You're probably doing something right in your life. He's probably scared of you. He keeps tempting you. The temptation you face has nothing to do with an inadequacy in you. You are not destined to fail. Temptation is not sin. You don't have to give in to the temptation. The temptation is not stronger than the power of God in you. It's not. I'm going to prove it to you in the Bible. Can I give you a Bible promise? This is a promise. Galatians 5:16. Paul says, but I say this, walk by the Spirit and you will not, everybody say will not. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. How do I overcome? Learn to walk by the Spirit. I don't know what to do with this temptation. It keeps coming at me. Okay, walk by the Spirit. If you learn to walk by the power and the dependency of the Holy Spirit, you will not satisfy that temptation that's coming into your life. Gratify means carry out or bring to completion. What will happen is as you begin to walk by the Spirit, instead of bringing to fruition the sin from the temptation, you will bring to fruition the fruit of the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, meaning you don't have to open the door when temptation knocks. You've been given ability. You've been given power. There's something greater in you. You can approach the throne of God with confidence. That word confidence or boldness means unreserved speech. Unreserved speech. Confidence and boldness means unreserved speech or the absence of fear in speaking boldly. You can pray wild prayers. You can be unreserved in your approach and conversation with God. I feel tonight the Holy Spirit is saying your prayers aren't wild enough. No, your prayers aren't wild enough because our prayers aren't wild enough when we've been underestimating the power of the Holy Spirit. We will pray according to how we see Him. So if we have a limited view of God, our prayers will be limited. But if we start to dig into the God of the Bible, our prayer life will explode. You'll start praying things you never thought of. Jesus is waiting for a generation to take him at his word when he said, ask anything of me and I'll do it. Ask me anything. According to my name, if you ask me, I'll do it. He's waiting for a people who will take him at his word and begin to pray outlandish prayers. The band can come back up. I thought Junior was already up there. Come on back up if you want. My question to you is how different would your life be every day if you woke up with the confession, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If that was the go-to thought before you stepped out of bed, before you opened your phone, before you checked Instagram, before you checked your text messages, before you talked to anyone, the initial confession and first thought of the day is that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What was your day look like if that was your confession? What if your confession was, I'm forgiven and washed by the blood of Jesus? That as you stand up, you get out of bed, you begin to stretch. The first thing you do when you walk in the bathroom and look in the mirror and saying, you are washed by the blood of the Son. Your sins are forgiven. You are white as snow. There is no stain of sin on your life. What if that was the confession of you every morning? What if you begin to tell yourself that there is no condemnation hovering over your life? You get out of bed, I'm not condemned today. Sin doesn't have the final word in my life. Failure doesn't have the final word in my life. I'm not destined for failure. There is no condemnation. I've been given the life-giving Spirit of God. What if you woke up and you said, God is for me today? If God is for me, who cares who's against me? God is for me. If you would begin to believe that one line, God is for you, you would live different. You would live different. You would think different about yourself. Self-hatred would fall to the wayside because you would begin to believe that God is for you. What if your confession was, I'm secure in the palm of his hand. I have everything I need. I'm lacking nothing. I'm not destined to fail. I'm destined to overcome. I have an all access pass to the throne of God. My body is his temple. I am his hands and his feet. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. Why? Because my God is for me. My God is for me. He who called me is faithful. And everything he started in my life, he will bring to completion. Why? Because he's for me. Because something is greater inside of me. I may not have all the details of my life planned out, but I know the one who holds the stars. And he's concerned about me. He's jealous over me. My life may feel out of sorts at times, but the same Spirit that hovered over the face of the deep at creation is dwelling inside of you to bring order to the chaos in your life. Come on, there's something greater in you. If you don't remember anything tonight, please remember that Bible truth. There is something greater inside of you. It's called the Holy Spirit. Tonight I felt the assignment was to put a megaphone up to that truth and to allow the Lord to speak over you. That he's for you. That he's with you. To remind you of his goodness over your life. To remind you that he's opened up every avenue for you to approach him. And to remind you and tell you afresh this year for 2026, start praying wild prayers. Break through the ceiling in your prayer life. Break through the ceiling in your belief. When you're believing and thinking about your family, break through the ceiling, believing that God can restore what's broken. When you're faced with that mountain of addiction, don't let that bring a paralysis of faith. Look at that mountain and say, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Speak to the mountain, get out of the way, move. So if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move, throw it into the ocean and it will go. It's not about the size of your faith, it's the object of your faith. Greater is he who is in you. What would your life look like this year if you began to believe the gospel? Not just in theory, but in practice. Every day, getting out of bed, life is hard. I got bills to pay. I'm a little bit confused. Things aren't going exactly how I want them to go. I got challenges in relationships. You got a laundry list of negative things, but the first thing out of bed is not the negative thought. The first thing out of bed is, yeah, all this stuff is happening, but I've got something greater inside of me. And my problems, though they're there, they're not bigger than Jesus. They're not bigger than my King. There's something greater on the inside of me, and I'm going to look at that thing. And I'm going to stare at the wounds of the one who bled out and died for me. And I'm going to begin to believe what he said, that if I ask him anything, he'll do it. What room are you locked in tonight where Jesus wants to walk through those walls and breathe a fresh, life-giving breath of the Spirit upon you? What's got you locked up? Come on, Jesus wants to walk through the walls tonight. He wants to meet you. He wants to bless you. He wants the Spirit to fill you afresh. He wants to encourage your soul with the truth of the gospel. Can you stand up with me tonight as we begin to pray or go into worship? Tonight, if there's any of you in the room, a couple categories. Number one, if you're in the room tonight and you're honestly, you're here and you're like, man, this is all amazing. God's not reminding me of these things. I'm actually hearing this for the first time. And I don't know that when I think about my life and I assess my life, I don't think I'm born again. I don't find myself in that place in Christ. I haven't found mercy. I haven't found grace. I'm still under the condemning voice of the enemy, that my sin is always before me. I don't know what it means to experience forgiveness. If you tonight in the room have not experienced the salvation and grace of Jesus Christ, don't leave this room without it. Please don't leave this room without it. If you're in the room and that's you, I want to invite you. I don't want you to raise your hand. I would love for you to come forward. I want to pray for you. Or others are going to come up here. Others are going to be up here in a moment. You won't be standing out then, but right now, if that's you in the room, the Bible says this, that if you acknowledge Jesus before men, he will acknowledge you before his Father. Wow. Tonight, if you're in the room tonight and you need a fresh touch of grace tonight, I know you're born again, you've got your life in Christ, but tonight you need a fresh just encounter of the Holy Spirit tonight, the life-giving Spirit of God. I just want to encourage you. Come forward. The altars are open. We're going to worship. We're going to pray. But I just want to tell you, there is fresh life tonight for you. There is fresh life tonight for you that the Holy Spirit wants to pour out upon you. Jesus wants to walk in through the walls of your life tonight. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence. Just all eyes on Jesus tonight. Lift your hands open tonight. Leave them open and receive tonight a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. God, we're asking tonight, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to come and you would begin to breathe fresh life upon people tonight. In Jesus' name, every hungry heart, God, we're asking for an infilling of your Spirit. God, we're asking for a fresh touch of your grace tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, we're asking, Holy Spirit, that self-hatred fall to the wayside. God, as you would come with your embrace and your touch from heaven. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Fresh life, fresh life, fresh life. In Jesus' mighty name. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit.
Holy come on, just Spirit. Every hand lifted to heaven tonight, all across the room. God, we're here hungry for more of you tonight, Holy Spirit. Help us remember. Of the Holy Spirit. All across the room, we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you'd begin for gospel truth to be planted in our mind. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Greater is he that lives in me than he who
I feel tonight that some of you talk so down to yourself. You talk so mean about yourself. You say things about yourself, and I feel tonight that the envy of God over who you are is wanting to drive self-hatred out of your life tonight. That there is something that the enemy planted a seed in your life as a young child, and you've been believing those lies over and over and over again. And tonight the Holy Spirit is saying, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I don't want to single you out, but where you're at, if that's you, if you just want to lift both hands to heaven, I want to pray for you. I believe tonight that the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you, wants to pour out affection over you, wants to rewrite your story tonight. Holy Spirit, every hand lifted, dealing with self-hatred, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that the love of God in Christ would melt them now. In Jesus' name, God, that your love would begin to melt away all self-hatred, every wrong narrative they've believed about their life. Holy Spirit, come rewrite the story. Rewrite the story. Rewrite the story. To pray for anyone who feels like when I talked about being destined to fail, I feel like there's a few of you in the room where you've tried and done things and you've stepped out and you felt like you fell flat on your face and you're like, I'm never doing that again. I'm never stepping out again in this area. I'm not doing this again. You can't bear the sense of failure again. And I feel that tonight God wants to put fresh courage in your heart tonight. If that's you, can you just lift both hands to heaven? I want to pray for a fresh feeling of courage. Come on, in Jesus' mighty name, I declare over you the courage of Christ. All failure be broken in Jesus' name. That tormenting spirit that continues to come and hound you and tell you that you're a failure, tell you you're going to fall flat on your face, in Jesus' mighty name, we declare every lie broken in Jesus' name. I want you to do. I feel tonight there's an invitation to begin to pray wild prayers for your life. That you would begin to make outrageous asks of God about your life. There's been a timidity when it comes to asking God to move in your life, to move in power in your life, to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to open doors for you. I just believe tonight that God wants to lift the lid off this place as we begin to make crazy asks of God tonight. It's going to require you to open your mouth and to begin to talk to Him. I can't pray your prayer for you. When I got to pray crazy prayers, I start pacing around. I start just talking out loud. I just say, Holy Spirit, help me. There's a prayer inside of me. I don't know what it is. Holy Spirit, you said that you would help us pray with words. When all we have is a groan, the Spirit will give you words. So if tonight you're like, I know it's in there, I don't know what it is, begin right now. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you language for the groan inside of you. Come on, you gotta ask Him. You gotta begin to ask Him. Holy Spirit, I pray all across this room that you would begin to give language for the cry of their heart. That you begin to give language to the prayers that you want them to pray over their life. Holy Spirit, I'm asking tonight, break every limitation. Break every limitation in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, if you got wild prayers you want to pray, I want to encourage you guys to flood the front. I want to encourage you to come down. We're going to have a little bit of a prayer rumble. We're going to start praying some wild prayers together for what God wants to do in your life. Come on, we're going to linger for a moment. We're going to stay here because I believe we need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough when it comes to praying wild prayers that can reach a generation. Bible says, with confidence, with boldness, approach my throne, unreserved speech.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.